Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app. We're on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're also on Dash Radio on their Nothing But Net channel. That's every single weeknight at 7 p.m. Also, check out the Five Reasons YouTube channel before floor, an hour before every Heat game. Post up 5R as soon as the Heat games end. And FiveReasonsSports.com. Make sure you spell that one out. We do not have a paywall for any of the articles on there. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. We got a new one in downtown Miami, right down the street from FTX Arena. It's called City Cigar Lounge. This is where you want to go to relax, have a premium cigar. They got 50 brands of premium cigars. They've also got more than 350 brands of scotch, bourbon, whiskey, and tequila. And they got comfortable leather chairs in a very classy environment. A great food menu too, and happy hour and game specials. And we're going to be doing some Five Reasons watch parties there very soon, before and after the game. So check out City Cigar Lounge in downtown Miami. And now, today's episode. Down to Biscay.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got it all banned. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome back to Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Here's today's floor plan. We've got a member of the Miami Heat. One of the real positive surprises for the team as they get through the first 41 games of the season at 26-15. Caleb Martin, and he's joining me here with Alex and with Brady, going to be here for the next 20 minutes or so. Cale, I want to start here with you. There was a stat that, just from last night against the Hawks, 115 points for you guys, 79 points scored by guys who were not drafted. What does that kind of say about this team, the first half of the season, and what you've pulled together here?
I just think it says a lot about, obviously the Miami Heat doing their research and ultimately just believing in guys who don't have a lot of hype coming out of college. And it says a lot about their player development. You know what I mean? All the work that guys put in and all the work they put us through and believing and trusting us to come in and make an impact like we have been when guys have been out.
What do you think they saw in you specifically? Because we want to get into your journey a little bit about how you got to this point. But what do you think it was that they identified in you and they said, okay, this is a guy that we want to add to our program?
Yeah, I think for me, what was probably intriguing was more just the versatility in terms of like, okay, like he comes out of college, he can score the ball, he can shoot it. We know his shot can get better. But he's long, he's athletic. Maybe he can make him into a good defender and run the wing. So just a little bit of everything. I think that for me, it was like one of those pieces to where you didn't know what you might have specifically wanted to use it for, but you knew you could turn it into something. You know what I mean? Find a way to put it in and fit it in. So I think that's kind of what they saw in me, is just basically something to kind of play with and see where we can fit it in.
I'm going to pivot to Alex and Brady here in a second, but I just got one more to start. Your journey to this moment and to signing the two-way, I think people look at it and they're like, wait, why? Right? Like, well, I mean, with what you've already done so far this season, and like you said, the versatility, it seems like Brady and I were watching the first scrimmage that they let the team into this year, and we watched you, and I remember the very first day, he and I both said, he's going to be a rotation piece here. And I don't think we had seen you play enough before that to really sort of understand how that would fit. But we're like, that's a plug and play piece for a contending team. Why do you think it took so long for a team to really identify that? It going all the way back, obviously coming out of NC State, not being drafted, yeah, and then maybe not getting the opportunity that you got this year until this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think obviously like the way the game's going is big on analytics now. So don't get me wrong, numbers are super important. It tells a lot about a player and about a team. But sometimes if you're only looking at numbers, you kind of are blind to some of the things that certain players can bring to a team. You know what I mean? So And that's sometimes the problem with like being strictly analytics is that if you're all analytics, like, and you don't think as a basketball player and how guys can impact winning, then sometimes you miss on stuff like that and miss on certain players that could possibly help you. So, and in reality, with comfortability and minutes, numbers always typically get better. You know what I mean? Whether that's shooting or winning or assist or rebound or whatever it is. You know what I mean? When minutes go up, numbers get better. And comfortability gets, you know, you just get more comfortable. So, yeah, I probably think that's the biggest thing this summer to where it kind of hurt me in terms of getting picked up was just my numbers coming from shot. They weren't the best, and I knew that. But maybe I thought that for a little while that I maybe showed enough to where a team would pick me up. But, you know, with a guy that's coming like me that's coming undrafted, you got to continuously prove yourself. So, you know, that year I didn't have the best showing and I didn't prove myself.
So you mentioned actually how Caleb was he played at NC State. He actually ended up transferring to Nevada after two seasons there. And you put up some gaudy numbers there at Nevada. And I think you mentioned earlier in the season once I had asked you something about your scoring versus your defending. And you said that you were more of a scorer coming in. Mm-hmm. You said on media day that you had more in your bag of tricks that you wanted to show this season. And like, it feels like the way that they started you off this season, it was like Ethan mentioned, like a plug and play wing. You've been playing just excellent defense this whole time. And then you've kind of, the offense has been coming along. And you mentioned analytics and your numbers, whether you look at per game, per 100 possessions, everything has been positive on both sides of the end for you. So it feels like everything's kind of come around on both ends. Is there anything about this season, how fast it's happened and that surprised you and how well you've played and just how quickly it's all come together?
I mean, to be honest, from like a being surprised, I don't think I was surprised that, you know, my numbers have been better and that things have kind of turned out how they are. But I guess one thing I will be surprised about if I was to say that was of how fast I've kind of clicked with the guys. Mm-hmm. When I first got here, just how welcoming they were. And, you know, obviously this is my first experience with an older group of guys and guys who won championships. And so just being around a culture like that, and especially you hear a lot of stories about older vets, you don't know how they're going to treat, you know, younger guys come in or new guys coming in. And, you know, they definitely welcomed me with open arms and made me feel comfortable from the jump. And, you know, I think that was that had a lot to do with the comfortability and how fast I got comfortable here. And, yeah, man, like, I just think that, just coming in, honestly, I just didn't really know what to expect. So I think they helped my process a lot coming in. And I think the way they started playing me early in the year, like you said, was like kind of just plug and play, kind of defend. And, you know, the more I would pass up on shots and I would make the extra pass when I probably needed to shoot it, you know, it helped a lot that the coaches and my teammates were telling me, hey, bro, you need to shoot that. Like, hey, be aggressive. Like, we want to see you do this. We want to see you do that. And so, like, when them telling me that, it just kind of just game by game just started clicking in my head where it was just like, all right, they want to see me play. Like if I'm not aggressive here and I'm not myself here, then that's on me. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, that's how they made me feel. And that's what that really made me get settled in is, you know, because I'm not, you know, obviously if it's up to somebody else, you can't completely control that. But if it's up to me, I'm going to make sure, I think, and they helped a lot with that. So they gave me a big nudge in my back to get me going and get my mental re-gauged. And I think they helped a lot.
And just looking back a little bit more to the beginning, when do you feel you made the biggest jump in your skills? Like, I feel like the stats would say it was probably your first year in Nevada. Do you think that was the biggest jump you made in your skill set, or do you maybe think it was from Charlotte to Miami, or was it a time before that?
I think probably the biggest jump in my skill set, like in my career, you're asking like, through my career?
Probably,
going from NC State to Nevada. Like, I just, we lived in the gym. Like, obviously we always do, but like, that was like a different type of summer. We was just in there like every day, even during the season, because we redshirted our first year. So like, even during the season, the first year, we were just in there all the time. And that was like the first time we got to like really implement the stuff that we were working on, you know, because even at NC State, we were kind of limited and cut off from certain things. So being able to go there, and I think it helped a lot that our coach was in the gym watching us. So like, he understood that we could do these things that we were trying to do in the game. So when it came around game time, he wanted us to do that. It's like, all right, y'all put the work in, like, all right, bring it to the game. And so that's what we appreciated about that. So I say that's the biggest, that's the first time in my career, like, I got to, like, really implement what I worked on and behind closed doors into, like, into the gym, you know what I mean, into the game. So I would say that was probably, like, the biggest jump for sure. But here it was just, I think the difference between coming, you know, out of college and to the pros and from Charlotte to here is just I think understanding the game more. Obviously being around older guys, it helps a lot. And they've helped me understand, like, and helped me really make the game slow down for me. So I think that's what's been impacting my game positively.
You keep saying older guys, and UD is going to interrupt this podcast. So we'll move on, because I do want to ask you about some teammates as we go forward. But I got one more basketball thing for you before we do, which is, you know, we talk about the whole plug and play thing. And then, you know, Eric Spoelstra has had this habit over the years of when one of the stars goes out, he will typically put a guy in the starting lineup who maybe can replicate the player's skills, even if that player is not playing as much off the bench. It's something that he's typically done for a long time. But one of the things that really stuck out with him and you this year was him basically saying, Caleb can do some of the things that Jimmy can do. That, and so, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we run when Jimmy's in that we can run, you know, with Caleb. So I want to ask you this, what is the hardest thing about Jimmy Butler to try to replicate? Because it does seem like there's sort of skill set similarities between the two of you. I think even Jimmy would admit you may be a better pure athlete than him. but there are some things that it seems like, and the box scores, you know, at times have looked somewhat similar, including obviously your biggest game. So what is the hardest thing about Jimmy to emulate?
I think the hardest thing with him is, and that's a tough one, because, you know, Jimmy's got so much to his game, and, you know, just even outside of it, you know, just his presence. I think that's the biggest thing to replicate, obviously, is, you know, is Jimmy Butler. So, you know, when he's on the floor, you know it, you feel it. You know, when you're on the same team, obviously you feel it, but whenever you're playing against him, it's, you know, he's a big target and someone that you have to constantly worry about on the floor. And Jimmy does so many things, like, that impacts winning and impacts the game without even having to go score the ball. You know what I mean? So I think that's probably the biggest thing to implement, is just the same feel of having Jimmy on the court when Jimmy's out on the court. So whatever that is, that's why I just do everything in my power, like, whether it's just play super hard and try to radiate energy and pick up full court and rebound as much as I can and guard anybody I can, give Jimmy a rest, whoever needs a rest. I'm trying to go guard the best player, obviously, because I want them to keep their legs, but obviously because I want to take the challenge as well. So I would say the biggest thing for Jimmy is just probably just the presence, honestly. Like, you know, Jimmy does everything, you know, Jimmy does so many things well. So it's just like, obviously, that's always, you know, that's just him being him. But, you know, I would say the presence.
So speaking of Jimmy and trying to come in and do some of the things he does in this time that you've been without him, like, I'm looking at it right now. You're shooting 70% at the rim this season. And I know that's a huge part of what Jimmy does. Obviously, getting to the line, just creating a lot of rim pressure for you guys, opening stuff up for everybody else. And even though it's not like, you know, they're running the offense through you or anything, you're getting a lot of attempts, catch and go to the rim. You're obviously hitting your jumper at a high level, 38% this year. I'm looking at your steal and block percentage. Like, you're just kind of filling in and all these little gaps. And it's like, wow, they really just they got another guy. I know you said you're not surprised, you knew this was coming, but just the fact that it's all kind of peaked so quickly, right? You're talking about 70% at the rim and 38% from three. This is just who you think you are going forward, right? Like, this is just who you're gonna be for the rest of your career, right?
Right, exactly. Like, obviously, that's, you know, I just think is the biggest thing was just being able to prove and show people that, like, you know, what type of player you are. Because obviously when you come in, you have a lot of question marks. And like I said, like we just talked about, is obviously if your numbers weren't there before. And that was just – and last year, that was me playing my most uncomfortable basketball probably of my career, honestly. Like, just mentally, I just wasn't there. And obviously everybody was going through the same thing with COVID and stuff. And it was – and, like, I'm not the one to make any excuses. I put that on me in terms of, like, me not being able to get myself in the right – in the right place, and you know playing with a lot of new guys coming in and a lot of pieces, so it just wasn't the easiest year to be myself, you know what I mean? And so I just think here that they just do such a really good job of, like, you know, encouraging people to be them. You know what I mean? Even when we have other guys like Kyle and Jimmy and Bam and Keith and Eric, you know, all down the line, PJ, whoever, like, you know, guys who've been there and done it before, you know, they do such a great job of still being able to, like, squeeze you in there and, you know, not try to mold you too much, but squeeze you in a place to where you can still be you. And because they know that's, you know, if you're just being yourself, that's who you're going to be. Like, that's the best. That's if you're going to be yourself, that's, you can be your best self. So it's just like, you know, they just do a really good job of making you feel comfortable to be able to fit in.
We're going to have some fun with you after the break, but I got one more question. Do you think in any way, because your brother's having a great year too. Do you think in any way that just being split, for obviously you want to be playing with family, but do you think that's, I don't know, pushed you guys in any way? Because I mean, you're both, I mean, clearly both having the best seasons you've had at this level.
I think so. I think so to a certain degree. Like, you know, I think when we were playing together, obviously it's one of those things where you're like, dang, like you're worried about yourself and how you're playing and, you know, and how you can get minutes. But then at the same time, you know, obviously I'm worried about my brother because I want him to play well. I want him to get minutes. I want him to have his best year yet. So it's definitely hard to split. And there's not, but, you know, we were playing somewhat the same position. So It was like, okay, if one of us playing, you're not playing. If he's playing, then I'm not playing. So you're happy that you're playing, but you're not happy that he's not playing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was a weird dynamic, but we love to play with each other and we always figured it out. But being separated just gives us a chance, an opportunity to kind of hone in on our, you know, on what we have to do and how we can continue to get better.
All right. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, we'll be right back. A couple words for the sponsors on the podcast channels. We'll get back to our episode with Caleb Martin here in a second. Before we do, I want to tell you about a couple of the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. We tell you all the time about therapistpreferred.com. That's where you got to go for your premium CBD. The code is 5RSN. You get the sports cream, the tincture, the gummies, and all that great stuff. It helps you with sleep, helps you with recovery. If you go to therapistpreferred.com, use the code 5RSN, you'll get 25% off. But also, if you're an endurance runner, do any kind of endurance sports, you got to check out this new site. It's called Get Salis. That's GetSalis.com. That's GetSalis.com. This is where you go to replenish your electrolytes. Go to GetSalis.com. Use that same code, 5RSN. You'll get 10% off. It's a new product. It's going to change the way that you approach your endurance activities, particularly if you're a distance runner. So go to GetSalis.com. No artificial ingredients. This is really good stuff. 5RSN is the code there, and at therapistpreferred.com for your CBD, also 5RSN to get your discounts. And now back to the episode. All right, Ethan Skolnick back with Caleb Martin, Alex Toledo, and Brady Hawk. I got to ask you about one thing, because when we promoted this, we promoted a certain photo that you took, or that was taken of you, and it showed a little bit of your personality here, and I think it typifies kind of what this team is about, which was this. The finger to the lips. I mean, is that who you are a little bit? And kind of what motivated that, in that, was somebody talking to you, or was that, who was that for exactly?
I'll just say, me and Bobby Portis, we were kind of going at it. We were just chirping back and forth, but it was just like fun competition stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's just fun. Like when you get in that mode and like you competing with somebody and you going back and forth, like I love that. Like I love, you know, like that dog, like headbutting with somebody. I love that. So that's definitely me. Like that's definitely in me, like for sure. Like I know for the most part, I'm like pretty chill and calm. And honestly, it's a complete opposite of how I was growing up. Cause I used to be like that all the time, where I used to just be talking all the time, 24/7. And my brother was the quiet one. So I think as I got older, I tried to tone it down a bit, be a little bit more professional, but, that's definitely in me. If I get into a certain mode and guys is talking, and I definitely can get like that.
All right. So I'm going to pitch this to Brady here in a second, but I mean, obviously you've guarded Jimmy some in practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does the talking get like during that?
And Jimmy, we get like that sometimes. But Jimmy appreciates that. Like he wants that, you know what I mean? So like to him, it's not like one of those things where like he talked, you know, tries to talk crazy to you or come back at you in a disrespectful way. Like, he encourages competition. So, like, he loves that, you know, when me and him are guarding each other, or like maybe I'm guarding him playing him one-on-one or whatever. So it gets, you know, it gets a little physical and stuff, but like he loves that. You know, I mean, we both love that. So nothing too crazy.
I do have a question for you, but I want a quick hitter real quick. Which 1v1s are tougher? Is it those ones with Jimmy, or was it the ones with your brother in the driveway? Back a while back.
And me and Cody, at least at the games with Jimmy, we kind of finish. Like, my brother, we don't get to finish. We always end up fighting. So that's why we stop. That's why, like, in pickup, we just stopped guarding each other because we couldn't get through any games.
I got you. I also, just now that we're at the halfway mark of the season, just kind of looking back big picture, what has been your favorite moment, maybe on the floor and as well off the floor? Like, what is the part that sticks out? I feel like maybe it's that Milwaukee game for you, because that was just the big one. But is there something else, or is there something off the floor maybe?
Probably definitely the Milwaukee game. It was just like a fun game. Like, even besides, like, you know, playing well, I just think it was just fun. Like, you could tell the whole crowd, that everybody was into it. And it was just like, the game was so lit. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it was, you know, I love that. Like, I love the environment. Like, when the environments get like that, like, it felt like, obviously I've never been to the playoffs, but I feel like that felt like a playoff game, you know what I mean? Whereas everybody was in it. So, and, but like off the court, I don't know. Off the court, like, I had good times with my team all the time. You know what I mean? People funny every day. So, like, it's hard to pick one, you know what I mean? So, but definitely, if I could just take one, it'd definitely be the Milwaukee game right now.
Hey, Caleb, you're a fisherman, right?
Yeah, I love the fish.
So I was going to wait and ask this question, but since we're talking about teammates here, one guy on the team that you would take a fishing trip with, and one guy that you would never take a fishing trip with.
Oh, one. I take a lot of dudes fishing with me, but I know I'm pretty sure Gabe's a fisherman too. I think Gabe likes to fish. I was talking to Max the other day. Like, I go on, like, on a pontoon with Max. Like, Max is like a pontoon type of dude, just the vibe. But like, fish probably Gabe. He's a little country. And then
who's the one that you, if somebody said to you, we're gonna be out on the water for 4 hours alone with this person, I can't take it.
He trying to throw me on the bus. That's great.
UD?
So maybe. UD, no. UD, yeah, UD too. UD, like I said, like, UD would get out there. He's somebody I would take. But who I wouldn't, I don't know if O'Meara would fish. I don't know if PJ would fish. I could kick it with both of them, but like, I don't know if they fish.
But here's the thing, what would PJ wear to fish? I mean, because I feel like it'd be something like lime green or something else along those lines.
It'd be a designer bucket hat, be a designer towel for the worms and the fish goo. And then he would definitely have a designer pole.
So like, yeah, fishing kicks?
Yeah, it'd be like a Supreme rod or something like that. Yeah, exactly. And some Jordan boots to fish in, something like that. Like, something cool. It'd be fire, though. It'd be fire.
I don't see on there fishing just off the top. That's I'm with you on that. That seems unlikely.
I might take Tuck fishing just to see what he would wear. That'd be fire.
Yeah, exactly.
So you mentioned earlier that it's tough to kind of pick one of your favorite funny moments or whatever, because there's been so many, like, there's always something happening every day. And that was actually going to lead perfectly into my question. It's kind of a double question here, because I know Lowry has kind of a similar thing when you talk about reputation and for always talking, always chirping, just like Jimmy has. I know they're not, you know, exactly the same personalities, but which one of those two chirps more? And secondly, who is the funniest player on the team?
Kyle definitely chirps more. Kyle's nonstop. Kyle's nonstop. That's my guy, though. Like, that's my dog, Kyle. But Kyle's nonstop chirping. And then funniest dude on the team.
Is it still Jimmy?
Jimmy's up there. Bam's up there. Gabe's up there. KZ's up there. Like, I don't know, man. It's a lot of dudes up there. It's comedy every day. Tyler's up there. Like, there's people say and do stuff all the time, every day. It just got me.
Wait a second. Well, I got to start. Tyler's funny? See, that one.
That's my guy, yeah.
Okay.
That's my boy. Like he's quiet. Like I know he's like quiet, but like I feel like once you get to like once he get to talking to you, get comfortable with you, like he's funny. He's kind of
We'll be right back with Caleb Martin, but we do want to tell you about our daily fantasy partner and our betting partner. You got to check these out and use the code 5. That's how you get the special promotions for daily fantasy. Go to prizepicks.com. You put down $100. They will match you up to $100. You can play any of the sports, including, of course, the NBA, and you can mix sports. You can mix teams. Go to prizepicks.com. Use the code 5. You don't have to play the whole thing at once, but you put down $100 or $50, and they will match it. Also, check out betus.com. That's for all your gambling needs. Go to betus.com. Use that same code 5 and you get a 125% bonus. So for both of those, betus.com, prizepicks.com, use the code FIVE. And now back to the episode. Caleb, where do you see this thing going for this group this year? I mean, you're on a 52 win pace. You've only had the big three that we projected to start the season for 14 games. You guys are 11-4 without both Bam and Jimmy, and obviously we're anticipating returns for both of them. You may get Vic back at some point. You may get Markieff back at some point. I mean, what are the guys, because we're not around you as much as we used to be, obviously, with COVID, other stuff that's going on. Like, what are the guys talking about? Like, what are the ambitions with this group right now?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, obviously it's a championship. Like, with a group of guys like this, man, it's a bunch of, you know, winning guys, man. Guys want to win and they want to compete. So, like, I don't think anybody's settling, you know, nothing less but a championship. I think that's the ultimate goal for everybody. You know what I mean? So, but I think we do a great job of, taking it game by game and, you know, feeling like our next game is our biggest game. So, like, that's what I like, because it keeps your mental right. It keeps you, like, engaged and, like, present in terms of, like, who you're playing next and not looking too far ahead. So, and that's how they handle it from a winning perspective. So, like, they've been there. They've done that before. So, you know, I'm just following. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if they say it and that's how they want to go about it, then, you know, I'm following them. I'm right behind them. So, but I think, obviously, the championship's the ultimate goal for sure.
Caleb, we're going to let you go. And I know we appreciate you doing this here on your off day, but I got one thing for you. I mean, most Heat players end up with nicknames on Heat Twitter. And so we tried this with Max and with Gabe when we had him on the show. What do you want it to be? It can't be Twin because, you know, I mean, he's not here. So we need something else.
I think a couple guys already been like kind of, they've been saying Red Bull. Like Red Bull or something like that, just because it's like energy, you know, like energy, playing, flying, you know, like Red Bull makes you fly, you know what I mean, gives you wings. So, like, it's a couple people been calling me Red Bull. So,
I think there's going to be some photoshops of you with wings by the time that this episode drops.
The Red Bull sponsorship.
Right. Thanks. That'd be tough, though.
Well, give me the Struce, doesn't Struce have some kind of sponsorship already? He's always posted on Instagram this water thing, this rejuvenation. I mean, you need something also. You can't let Struce get all the endorsements.
Hey, that's the money, man. That's the money, man. Like, Struce got it. You know what I mean? Ain't no telling. Struce keeps a low key, so we never know what he's sponsored by. But I'm trying to get like Struce.
Well, Duncan's got donuts. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, Jimmy's
got the donuts. Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, Jimmy's got the Michelob Light. I don't know what Bam has, but I mean, you got to get something though. I mean,
Dunkin' Donuts. That's hard. That's tough.
All right, Kale, we appreciate it. Might have to get you one of these shirts. How often does Eric Spoelstra behind the scenes say we have enough? He says it to us all the time.
All the time. He means that all the time. Shoot, all the time.
Coach of the year?
You said what? Coach of the year?
Coach of the year?
Easy.
No, as long as he keeps giving him those minutes, he's going to say that. We know that for sure.
Easy.
Caleb, we appreciate it. We'll get that Red Bull sponsorship working for you. Again, we really thank you for doing this and continued success this season with the rest of the guys.
I appreciate that. Thank y'all for having me.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.